Colman Nochter is with us in studio because it has been revealed that Ireland has scored 65.3 out of 100 in the first National Family Togetherness Index, and that very active families experience almost 50% stronger family togetherness than inactive families. But what exactly is family togetherness, and how do we ensure that the connection we share with our loved ones is strong and continues to be in this digital age, which is dominated by screens and smartphones and all that other stuff? Well, to find out the answer to this, Colman Nochter, as I say, is with us in studio, child and adolescent psychotherapist who took part in this research. Colman, thank you very much for coming in to us today. Family togetherness. What exactly, I mean, I find that it almost is strange as a concept that can be measured with numbers. I mean, how exactly did you get on with this?
Yeah, well, this is a piece of research that was sponsored by the Centre Parks, who are coming to Ireland next year. They're opening their forest resorts next year. So they wanted to have an idea of what was bringing Irish families together and what was driving them apart. So when we looked at family togetherness, we asked, were people satisfied with the amount of time they were spending with their kids? Were they satisfied with the quality of time that they were spending with their families? And how frequently were they able to do that, and what were the challenges or barriers to it? So we did a series of focus groups. We talked to young people and children, and then we had surveyed over 600 Irish parents and asked them about that. And I suppose what was most interesting was, the most stark finding was that active families described having 48% more togetherness and more moments of closeness and meaningful connection than inactive families.
So that's going out there, maybe going for a family walk or going out playing sports or whatever, yeah, I mean, that sort of thing, is it?
But you think it's kind of, in my head, I was imagining maybe going for these families that go for 10K hikes in the mountains. Yeah. It was nothing like that. It was walking the dog, swimming and going to the beach. And if you think about it, they're all interactive activities, so you can have a chat. And maybe teenagers and children feel that if they're being sit down to have the talk, you know, if there's forced meaningfulness, yeah, it can sometimes feel it can backfire. Whereas this is a kind of a non-threatening, just interactive experience where I suppose a conversation about how life is going for everybody in that space is free to share. And yeah, it was interesting. And the other part was that stay-at-home parents and working parents, they didn't describe any difference in the amount of quality time that they spend with their children.
That is interesting, because obviously if you're a stay-at-home parent, by the nature of that, you'd expect to have a longer period of time with your family than, you know, a parent who is out working all the time, all that sort of stuff. But so you're saying that even though there is that discrepancy in terms of the length of time you have available to you, you're still seeing almost similar levels of family togetherness.
I mean, I think what it says is proximity isn't closeness. Mm. So just because you're in the same space doesn't mean that you're having a kind of a meaningful connection or sharing a meaningful experience. And it's like anything that's short in supply, we tend to value more. Mm. So perhaps those parents who are seeing their children in short windows of time, maybe just at weekends or whatever, they maybe are making more of a concerted effort to create meaningful experiences. And that was another thing that parents had said, that they felt that their quality time with their children was 50% better than when they were younger, which was a different time, maybe when there weren't as many working parents. Mm. But maybe there's an emphasis in the new generation of parents to value quality over quantity in terms of that.
Yeah, because you hear almost a sort of a nostalgic thing that, oh, back in my day, that we had all the time in the world with our parents and we spent all this time, we had all these amazing adventures with each other. So you're saying that that isn't actually what's bearing out in reality, that maybe we're more conscious of it and more conscious of spending good quality time with our kids now than we were before.
Well, I think it probably is, as I say, it's more of a point of focus. But when we go back to the nostalgia days, you know, we're outside until the streetlights came on, you know, so you weren't necessarily with your parents, even though they may have been at home. But I think now that we see both like dads pushing buggies and there's a much more concerted effort around creating time with your children. But what was most interesting for me was in the focus groups, the kids that we talked to, none of them mentioned anything of a dramatic gesture or anything inexpensive. When they were asked what resonated for them for closeness, they said things like building a fort with the cushions from the couch, Lego, baking, simple things. And I remember one young person says, when everyone's happy, we have a better chance of doing it. So sometimes we see parents trying to create the perfect, say, Christmas, but the stress in creating the perfection takes from the experience, if that makes sense. So, you know, almost being relaxed about it and enjoying it and seeing what happens is probably more effective. But it was definitely the simple things and the cheap things that children were connecting with.
Yeah, because when we say activity now, because of the era that we're in and we're all sort of becoming a little bit obsessed with, you know, strenuous physical activity, and you hear things like the family that works out together, stays together, etc. All of these telly shows as well, where we're seeing families sort of competing against each other in very sort of strenuous, you know, competitive atmospheres. It doesn't need to be quite that intense, you're saying, anyway.
No, it doesn't. And I think maybe the intensity or the focus takes from the opportunity to enjoy it. But I think what we are seeing is maybe a return to a family togetherness from the point of view of, if you think about it, we live in a technological era where we can all watch our own screen in our own room. So the whole watching TV together hasn't really happened. But if you see in the last while, things like Ireland's Fittest Family, Ireland's Got Talent, the Dancing with the Stars, they're kind of all age appropriate. We're getting back to the Saturday night sitting down together watching TV. So maybe something traditional and nostalgic is becoming fashionable again.
We were talking earlier on, one of our big issues was about Irish dancing and the competitiveness and the pressure that it puts on young kids. Do you think that that is something that does need to be like brought to mind when you're, you know, exercising or you're having a good family experience, that it isn't something that's too competitive, that you just let kids be kids?
Absolutely. This is one of the things I would have seen massively in the last 5 to 10 years. We all say, you know, screens are the big problem, why kids give up sport. Lots of kids I meet who give up sport is because of pressure and because it's so competitive. And the, you know, the idea of this silent sideline and keeping parents off the thing, and the tiger parent who's out shouting and roaring at the under sixes. And, you know, many children leave sport because that environment isn't, you know, we're not about breeding Olympians. We want people to enjoy the activity. And, you know, we have coaches and parents who fall foul of that, make it into something overly competitive, and it's just an atmosphere that children actually don't want to be part of.
Do you think that we're very, you know, we're very adept at pointing out scapegoats in society? So we'll automatically say the smartphone is the biggest enemy of family time and children's development these days, and there's good points to that. Whereas it's a bit tougher for us to look inwards at ourselves and our own conduct. Maybe it is on the sidelines, as you say. Do you think that we're just, you know, we're missing out on almost a little bit of self-criticism? We're not looking at this seriously enough.
I think there's a cognitive dissonance that we always look to other people or other examples of why things aren't going well. But I'd say just about the smartphone issue, we all say, you know, teenagers and their screens, and you can hear people say, I can't access my daughter because she's stuck behind a screen. What I hear now is, I can't access my mom because she's stuck behind a screen. And in that way, we've kind of, if we can't beat them, join them, it has kind of been the approach we've taken. And so it's not just the kids and their devices, it's us too. And we need to hold up a mirror and actually look at our own relationship with technology if we're going to be serious about role modelling something for them.
If you're a busy parent then, and you're listening into this, and it is a busy world, and we all have our time stretched every which way between work and commuting and this, that and the other, if you're looking to maximise family togetherness and sort of that level of activity with your kids, do you have any tips to do that in what is a sort of a constrained period of time?
It's value quality over quantity. Try to minimize the weapons of mass distraction, like the phones and things like that. And actually just doing it in a relaxed way. I think when everyone's in a mood that's open, that's when meaningfulness and togetherness can take part. If you're stressed about it, or if you're highly anxious about it, or if you're on a deadline and trying to create something, it's going to feel artificial and non-authentic. But actually look at what your kids enjoy and try and do that with them.
Yeah, so that's it as well. I mean, it's not about forcing your own interests on kids as well.
No.
Because that's what happens as well. And it does tie in a way back to the Irish dancing thing that we were talking about earlier on, that this is something that the kid almost doesn't have a choice in. That you're putting your interest, whether it's sport or it's GAA or it's Irish dancing, on kids at the age of 3, 4, 5 years of age, without sort of looking at what they're interested in.
I think we're all victims of trying to live our dreams out vicariously through our children in that sense. And I think children sometimes fall foul of that. But one of the kids has said to me, you know, my mum thinks going to a restaurant is a time where we'll have meaningfulness. But they said, I hate it because you have to be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's maybe how we sometimes miss the point. Go simple and think of the times where a conversation and interaction can take place. And once you're creating that will stand to your child, because when they have adversity or they're going through something in their lives, they need to be able to approach you about it. So that closeness and togetherness and that relationship is the foundation for what will come, and it will pay dividend. Mm.
Colman, just one text before we let you go. Our texter says, my 16-year-old daughter has given up PE, dancing and horse riding, and won't go walking in case people look at her. It's very severe and I can't seem to get around her to do any physical activity. Have you any advice there for our texter?
Well, it depends on the context of why she doesn't want people to look at her. I mean, if it was something around body image or weight or something like that, that sounds fairly sinister from that point of view, if it's inhibiting her functioning, that she's not going out. Or is it an anxiety? I mean, social anxiety is something that a lot of young people are struggling with, and in an Instagram culture where we focus so much on appearance, it can oftentimes lead to avoidant behaviours. But if anything's affecting your daily living, your sleep, your appetite, your functioning, your school and your performance and your friendships and social things, that's worth looking into.
All right, great stuff. Dr. Colman Nocter, child and adolescent psychotherapist, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the show today.